Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Hey guys, before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that we have a sponsor. They are Hulu Plus. And it is a great, great service. I've really been using it a lot. I've been watching shows on my iPhone. I was recently on vacation in Indiana and had to share a room with my kids. And after they would doze off to sleep, I'd kind of stay in bed with the earbuds in watching some great, great shows. Many of you know I'm totally into science fiction television, and Hulu Plus is the place for it. Besides watching, you know, Star Trek episodes, I was going back and watching a great show that if you don't know, you should definitely check out. I actually did a lot of the promos for it back when I worked at Sci-Fi. It's called Farscape. It's by the Henson people. You know, Jim Henson's company is run by Brian Henson, his son, and they've done a number of really good shows, including this great sci-fi show called Farscape. Definitely watch it. Try the free 2-week trial of Hulu Plus and watch Farscape. It's a great show. You won't be disappointed. Ben Browder is the lead in it. Great guy, great character he plays, John Crichton. I love it. Definitely watch Farscape using the free 2-week trial of Hulu Plus. And the way you get that is you go to huluplus.com/metal. Make sure you use that link. It's very important. They are monitoring how many people we send them. So definitely click through, try out that free 2-week trial, and you can always cancel it without being charged if you're not digging it within 2 weeks. But I have a feeling you will dig it because it's great. So many great shows. You know, and it's just not the old Star Trek from the 1960s that they have on there. They have a lot of great stuff from Star Trek, including Deep Space Nine, Enterprise, The Next Generation, Voyager. I think that's just about all the Star Treks, actually. They have all the Star Trek stuff. Again, one of my other favorite TV shows of all time, Star Trek. Been watching that since I was like 5 years old, literally. Oh, great stuff. So many cool shows. The Man Show is on there with Adam Carolla. It's a show he did a number of years back with Jimmy Kimmel. And The Man Show is a great show, man. If you don't know Carolla's old stuff, I know a lot of you guys listen to his podcast. If you don't know his work from the past, definitely go to huluplus.com/metal and search The Man Show. Another great, funny show by the king of all podcasters, Adam Carolla. There's actually a picture of me and Adam up on talkingmetal.com if you go to the site. I recently ran into him at the wine library. Well, ran in. I went and waited in line to meet the guy and get his autograph on a bottle of Mangria. And again, Carolla's show, The Man Show, on huluplus.com/metal. Do me a favor. Go check out these great shows they have up. There's so many of them. So many of them. And we'll talk more about HuluPlus.com in future episodes of Talking Metal. It's the way you keep us going here on Talking Metal. Here is last Friday's show, live show that Victor and I did. I was out in Indiana doing this, Victor in Spain, and we spoke with a good old friend of mine, Opus, from Connecticut. So check it out right now.
You're listening to the Talking Metal Podcast with your host, Mark Striegel, and special guest co-host, Victor M. Ruiz. iTunes number one hard rock and metal podcast. I'm Bud Friendly. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Victor.
What's up? This is Opus the Dopus from Dead by Wednesday from New Haven, Connecticut, and you're listening to TalkingMetal.com.
Welcome, one and all, to another episode of Talking Metal Live. This is Victor over in Spain. For this week's episode, we have Mark even farther away than usual in Indiana, right?
Yeah, I'm out here in Fort Wayne, Indiana on a vacation. This is where my wife's family lives. Having a good time, heading back to New Jersey tomorrow.
Cool. What do you guys do, drive out there?
Yeah, it's a two-day journey each way. So, you know, it can be challenging at times. But now that the kids are a little bit older, it's getting easier. So, fun.
Right.
Fun. Good stuff. So what's going on, man? I'm listening actually to the stream right now in my other ear, and we're about, you know, 7 seconds behind. And I will say that it sounds much better than it did 2 weeks ago whenever we had that debacle doing the live show. So
no dot matrix printer, no underwater speech.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on there. It was just one of those things, and I know we had 9 or 10 people or more, I don't even know, listening, and I apologize to you guys. We did salvage the Metal Mike interview, which went into a podcast episode of Talking Metal, and that was a great interview. We packaged it with a Zakk Wylde interview, if you haven't heard that. Two great guitar players. And also, recently, I interviewed Bruce Bouillet. I don't know, did you have a chance to check out that interview?
I have not as of yet. I really want to listen to it because, I mean, obviously from the clips that or from what you had typed up regarding the John Corabi stuff, and I mean, he's been in Racer X, and he's been all over the place, so very interesting guy.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Bruce sent me the new album, The Order of Control, that is coming out, I guess, next month, his solo record. And, you know, one of the guys who was in Racer X and The Scream, for that matter, went on to play in Mars Volta. I guess he was known as John when he was in Racer X, and then he, yep, at some point changed his name to Juan. Maybe that, yep, was his real name. I don't know. But anyways, I could swear on the new Bruce Bouillet album that's coming out. It's, you know, it's a straight ahead. I wouldn't call straight ahead. It's a great hard rockin' record, but I can kind of hear that, like, influence that maybe he's actually listening to Mars Volta a little bit, and there's a subtle influence, I think, at least, of Mars Volta on the new Bruce Bouillet record. You know, I still think it'll appeal to all the fans of the shred stuff, the shred instrumental, neoclassical stuff, if you will. And, it, you know, not that Racer X was an instrumental band, but, you know, they were definitely a band that knew how to shred, and I don't know if I'd call them neoclassical. Would you? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't think it was like a flat-out Richie Blackmore or Yngwie Malmsteen type thing. I mean, they could definitely shred, both he and Paul Gilbert. But I think they were more of, I don't know, following the whole Jason Becker, Marty Friedman type deal, as opposed to the you know, pure neoclassical stuff.
Yeah, well, it's a great interview for anybody who is just a fan of hard rock, heavy metal music in general. Even if you don't know much about Bruce, it's worth checking out. And that was the last episode, 428, of the Talking Metal podcast. And Victor, we now have a sponsor on board, which we're working with. They are Hulu Plus, and it's just a great service. I'm encouraging anybody who wants to support what we do to go to TalkingMetal.com, click through the banner, the Hulu Plus banner, which you'll see in today's show notes, or just go straight to HuluPlus.com/metal. And this is the place where you can catch all your favorite TV shows, really, of all time. There's so much great stuff on there. And I will continue to talk about Hulu Plus on this episode and on future episodes of Talking Metal. And, you know, if you don't like it, just fast forward over me talking about it. But do me a favor, please use those links. Go to HuluPlus.com/metal. That's how you support us.
We are back. Do not blow anyone's eardrums out there. Bring the volume down.
Yeah, Ragdoll. All I Want was the song, and my friend Eric Bones of Steel, you've met just recently, turned me on to that track. And it's a great, great band from what I've heard, and I hope to learn more about them soon.
Cool. Eric is always good for coming up with these bands that not too many people have heard of. He obviously turned me on to Mustache, another great band.
Definitely. Mustache have just a great record out, guys, that came out earlier this year, which I want to talk about at some point. I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about all the other like really great music that has come out in 2013, because personally I think this has been a really good year for music so far. So I think there's a lot of stuff that is worth mentioning, and we'll probably, I guess, get into that after the interview that we're about to do with my old friend Opus, who has played in so many great bands, including Gargantuan Soul, also known as G-Soul, and a band called Dead by Wednesday, which he is currently playing with and has been for, oh, a long time already. So I'm looking forward to catching up with him. He's definitely been on the show, I think, twice already, at least once, I think twice. So it'll be good to talk with him, and you'll be talking with him for the first time, Victor.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I remember hearing him on the show, and that's how I was introduced to his work. Definitely an interesting array of musical influences. It seems as if, you know, he's worked into both Gargantuan Soul and Dead by Wednesday. And, you know, I always, you know, like to talk about bands looking for originality or looking for something else, you know, something to really make them stand out. And definitely they're doing that. So I think we have him calling in. Let's see if we could patch him in to the conversation. Hello, Opus?
Victor!
Yes?
What's up, brother? It's Opus.
What's going on? Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Opus, how are you, man?
Hey, Mark, how's it hanging, brother?
It is hanging good. I want to just let you know that we are doing this live right now, but it will go out in podcast form. And if there's any cutouts or anything, because I'm on like kind of a crappy Wi-Fi out here in Indiana doing the show away from home, So if there happens to be any dropouts, we'll patch everything together when it goes out in podcast form.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm cool with live. I'm a good improv guy. You know, that's my forte.
Absolutely. And, you know, you haven't been on the show in a while, and just to introduce anybody who doesn't know who you are or refresh anybody's memory who hasn't heard from you in a while, Opus is a guy who has been a part of the New England metal and hard rock scene for many, many years. Many of the bigger bands that came out of that area have even cited you as kind of one of the kind of founders of the whole scene up there. And we are happy to have you on the show tonight. We want to talk to you a little bit about your history going way back to the G-Soul days, and also about what you're up to now with Dead by Wednesday. So let's start there. Let's start with Dead by Wednesday. What is currently going on with you guys?
Well, first of all, Mark, you're making me blush with classifying me as one of the founding, you know, members of the New England metal scene. That makes me more than ecstatic, I got to be honest with you. But I appreciate
I honestly believe that's a true statement. I'm not just trying to blow smoke up your ass. I mean, I like I said, that even, you know, Howard from Killswitch Engage, formerly of Killswitch Engage, you know, mentioned you and mentioned Gargantuan Soul as a band he listened to, and that really, you know, was a big influence on him. And you know, there's been so many even offshoots of what G-Soul was doing, other bands that kind of blew up a little bit. And I just feel like you guys definitely, you know, maybe not single-handedly, but were definitely a big, you know, part of launching that whole exciting scene up there. I mean, I'd see you come definitely down to the city filled with a bus full of, like, you know, fans, and then you had fans in New York too. So, I mean, what keeps you, I want to talk about what keeps you going and how you keep that fire burning after all these years. But first, let's talk about what's going on with Dead by Wednesday.
Well, I mean, a lot is going on with Dead by Wednesday. And to be honest with you, you couldn't have got me on the show at a better time, because there's so much to talk about. Basically, for within the next week or two, I was getting ready to put out a national press release regarding a lot of stuff going on with the band. And I'm glad that you guys are having me on, because I could actually, you know, break the ice and break the news on a podcast, and you've heard it here first type of stuff. Some is good, some is not so great, but we trudge on and we make the best of every situation. And in the header of the press release, it goes like this. I'm just going to read it to you real quick. Dead by Wednesday guitarist Ross Ragusa leaves the band. National open auditions for the guitar player position for Dead by Wednesday. The new EP coming soon. The new record label that it's coming out on. And the Connecticut Music Awards nominations. We were nominated in two different categories in this CTMAs. It's a big deal now. It's the second year they're doing it. And that's pretty much all the information. And I can touch, you know, embellish on all those different topics a little more if you want to take it one situation at a time. But those are the heading of the press release that's going to be coming out soon. And I'm glad that I got to talk about it here first with my own voice.
Absolutely. So how much is this going to set you back a little bit, having to audition new guitar players?
Well, you know, this is the thing. We are going to do national auditions for his replacement, but he is like a family member to us. And it has to be someone who's going to be like very professional and willing to tour. And basically, I mean, how we're saying it is to be considered, to be even like considered, you got to go study Ross Ragusa, and you have to be as good, if not better, than him. And you know, if you think you got what it takes, and you're serious about your career, and you want to be, you know, our next Randy Rhoads or our next Dimebag Darrell, you got to come correct and show us what you got. You can email me. You know, basically through all of our social media sites, direct, or basically get a hold of anyone, you know, maybe you or anybody, and just put us in contact. But soon the press release will come out, and it'll describe exactly what I'm talking about. But basically, what happened was it was very in Ross Regusta's words, due to personal reasons, he said, he has chosen to amicably part ways with Dead by Wednesday. Ross states that he loves his brothers in DBW, and he wishes us nothing but success, as we deserve it for years of hard work that we put into this project. And he said, also went on to say that this is the hardest decision he's ever made in his life, but the road and touring has done serious damage to his back and neck, and he needs to step away for a bit to get healthy. And he also wants to try to pursue an education in music. And he said he wants to come back strong to become the musician he was born to be. And basically, it was hard. You know, it's hard for us to hear this, but the show must go on. And we wish him nothing but the best. I mean, Ross is a talented guy, and he really made our band, you know, get to this level. So it wasn't like a bad thing. Although, unfortunately, you know, we were planning on putting out a full length with Ross. And because of his departure, you know, we're finishing up the 7 songs that he did with us in the studio. And we're still going to release it with his name as a writer featured on it. And, but, you know, we're making some changes. Like, it's being recorded recently. We've been recording at Nicky Belmore. His nickname is Nicholas T. Rage. He's the guy who does all of Joss's stuff and Hatebreed and Kingdom of Sorrow and Toxic Holocaust. He's a monster in the metal, you know, producing side of things. So we're doing the album or the EP now. It's really a long EP, really almost a CD. So we just decided to, instead of having a mishmash of like different guitar players, we're just going to, the songs that we recorded are great. We love them. We're going to just leave it as where it is, finish it off with him. And we're going to self-title it. It's going to be like a long EP, and it's going to be released early January 2014. And it's coming out through a new label. I can't say who it is yet because we're in the middle of negotiations, but it's a fast-growing indie label that just popped up a little while ago, but they're quickly becoming monsters in the metal genre. And we're going to be doing like a split release with my company, Mind Snap Music, which basically is what I've done for all the last 3 albums. I did a Mind Snap Take 4 split, the last Parade on the last album. I did a Mind Snap Eclipse split on the Killing Project, the 2nd album. And I did a Mind Snap Stillborn Records split with Jamie on the 1st album, Democracy is Dead. So we're going to be doing it with this new label, but I can't say anything yet, but it's going to definitely be coming out. And after the release, obviously we have plans on nationwide tour promoting the EP. But right now we basically have to, you know, step back a little bit and let time, you know, basically heal the wounds and see who comes walking in, and hopefully we could find the right guy and it works, and we could actually go out and play all the past stuff that he wrote and also the new stuff, you know?
So is this a spot that Ross is just stepping away for a while and coming back, or is the new guy going to completely replace him for the foreseeable future?
He's probably going to be replaced for the foreseeable future. I think unfortunately we're on different pages when it comes to taking it, you know, just basically touring. What it takes nowadays is pretty simple. It's touring, selling albums through the road and living on the road. And, you know, that's basically how it works. Those days of, you know, selling a million albums through, you know, record label promotion and all this money is gone. It's all gone. So the only way to make a living is to tour. So if he can't tour, that leaves us no choice.
Wow. Okay.
Cool. Well, we wish you the best of luck with it, and you've just been such a trooper going all the way back to the G-Soul days. And what keeps the fire burning inside you after all these years?
Especially after many, you know, people deal with member changes all the time, and really it's frustrating to feel like you have to start over again. But, you know, I think what keeps the fire burning is it's simple. It's either in your blood or it's not. And that's also something that, and it's not a knock on him, but it's also something that I have had in me since I was, you know, 12 years old, listening to Kiss Alive or whatever, Rock and Roll All Over even, and knowing what I want to do with my life. And I basically, you know, you see, like I said, it's either in your blood or it's not. And you either want to do it for real or you're on the fence about certain things. And anything that gets in the way basically is what is going to be your demise in a sense when it comes to this business. Like, for example, I'm having my first child, September, the due date is September 27th. I'm scared shitless. I'm like freaking out. I don't know what to expect. You know, it's my first kid, and I'm still going to tour. I'm still going to do this. I have shows booked in October. I'm thinking it's actually perfect timing that this is happening right now because we're actually stepped away to write and record this new album and, you know, figure this whole situation out with the guitar player. And, you know, the singer, Joey, and Mike, the bass player, who's been with me since the beginning, they're still in. They're still gung-ho. You know, so it's actually a good time for this little bit of a break to kind of like let things fall apart and then rebuild and come out strong. And you know, it's pretty crazy. I mean, I don't know what to expect, but the same, everyone's saying my life's going to change, and it's going to change. But I don't think, as far as my passion is concerned, that that's going to change. No. And I need to still make a living, and that's all I know. I'm not going to work it. You know, I can't. No offense to anyone who does the job, but I can't flip burgers for a living. You know what I mean? I'm a drummer.
Right.
I'm also I'm too embedded in the music business to even think about, you know, doing anything else. So,
well, first of all, congratulations on the exciting news. That's big news for anybody, and I mean that's amazing. And we wish you all the best with that. And second of all, now Ross, was he an original member of G-Soul?
No, he wasn't. Actually, it was a funny story. Ross was a 19-year-old kid when I first met him. One of my buddies who gave guitar lessons and worked at a music store, I was looking for a Kirk Hammett-style guitar player for my Metallica tribute band, Alcoholica, which tours a lot, too, and is still going to this day. And we'll talk about all the other projects after this, but he... convinced me to give this kid a shot. And I'm like, listen, this dude can't know any old Metallica. He was probably wasn't even born yet. And this kid came in with a little tight fro, not even long hair, skinny as can be, like 80 pounds soaking wet. And here I am with, you know, all my old dogs from the scene, and we're like Ron Zombie and Kai Blackwood from my old band, and we're like, you know, ready to rock some old school Metallica. And we're like, this kid walks in and we're like, there's no way this dude's going to be able to play stuff. Dude, he knocked their socks off. He was on point, and he knew everything that that Metallica, Kirk Hammett, could have played in Metallica to a T. And we just all looked at each other through the corner of our eyes while we were playing, like, wow, this is crazy. So we ended up, in a sense, I kind of tested him out with that for a while. And he was gung-ho with touring and everything at the time. And, you know, and basically at that point, we were looking for a second guitar player for Dead by Wednesday. Dead by Wednesday only had the original guitar player, Pat Garcia, who we never replaced after his departure. And he was on the first two albums. And what happened we decided to go with a one guitar player band similar to, like, a Pantera style. Because... I just believe that all this flop after G Soul, which was like a ten person band, I'm exaggerating, but seriously, right. I mean, it was like a circus up there. I went with the whole less is more attitude, and I kind of wanted to model a band after like the old school bands that really made, you know, four guys up there with four instruments doing the best they can with what they got: a singer, a guitar player, a bass player, and a drummer. Less is more. Make the best you can out of those instruments and make a real band out of it. And that's kind of what we went with. So that's why it is kind of a shitty loss, because he is pretty much one of the main people in this thing now. So anyone that steps in, I don't care if I have to wait a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, even 2 years, regardless if we're relevant or not. I am not just going to put anyone in there. You know, it's going to have to be the right guy, you know?
Yeah, totally. And so where is the best place for people who may be interested in auditioning or people who just want to learn a little bit about Dead by Wednesday to find you guys online?
Well, you can go to our mother site. It's www.deadbywednesday.com or our Facebook page, which is obviously facebook.com/deadbywednesday, all one word. Or the best bet for straight up hitting me up for auditions or just questions about the auditions, you could just email me at omindsnap@aol.com. That's omindsnap, all one word, @aol.com. And, just hit me up, you know.
And in the podcast version of this, guys, in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com, we'll have all that information listed that Opus just ran through right there. On a totally different note, musically and topic-wise, you recently did some touring with the Bullet Boys, a band that, you know, I actually, one of my bands actually opened up for them once when they came through New Jersey. They're a band who have actually been going for a real long time, but that most of us remember from the late 80s heyday of, commercial hard rock and metal. How did that go for you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't realize, because I was always like the naysayer of the hair bands back in the day when the people were listening to Poison and Warren, all those bands. I was listening to Slayer and Venom and old Metallica, Celtic Frost, stuff like that. So I really was never really a hair metal guy, except my what do they call that? Not Dirty Passion. What do they call when you have like that secret liking
guilty
of
pleasure.
Something?
Guilty
my guilty pleasure is docking. I just think
that's
that they're
a good guilty pleasure.
Yeah, the musicianship is amazing. But basically, back to the Bullet Boys, it's funny how it happened. Like, I didn't know much about them. I just knew who they were. And I knew that they were, platinum-selling artists from the 80s. And they were on Warner Brothers, and they had, two hits, one of them being the cover of For the Love of Money. And I looked into them a little more, and believe it or not, I always thought of them as, the high voice type of band. But they're more of, a party punk rock, rock mixed with punk party band type of thing. So it was actually refreshing to play something a little different, and it was a little challenging because the tempos were a lot slower than I'm used to. I'm used to a lot faster tempos with the metal stuff, and I have to dig more into the pocket, more into the groove, and playing songs like Smooth Up In Ya, stuff like that. It was really challenging, and I had only a week and a half to 2 weeks to learn it, a whole set, 14 songs, and it was it actually made me proud to know of what kind of musician I could be if I need to, because between learning all of the Metallica set, all of the Black Sabbath sets, all of Dead by Wednesday, my solo stuff, and then besides the G Soul stuff, and then having to cram in 14 songs of a whole different style of band that I had no idea about from the 80s, it was awesome. And basically what happened was Mark Torin, who's the original singer, it was basically the only guy left in the current lineup of the Bullet Boys. He caught wind of me through an old G Soul, Gargantua Soul fan. Now, there was this kid from Connecticut, Nick, who is an awesome guitar player from L.A. He moved from Connecticut to L.A. and hooked up with Mark Torin. Now, I'm still friends with him on Facebook, and when they're talking about they're needing bands to support their tour, their current tour. And I've been getting into a lot of, basically helping out with, support acts. I got a band called Messer from Texas onto the Black Label Society tour. I got a band from Colorado onto the, Taproot, on the Taproot tour. And they're called Intertwined. They were awesome. They're friends of mine. We toured them before. And now I was trying to get a friend of mine's band on the Bullet Boys tour. And so we started talking over the internet. and he was talking about how his, you know, the last drummer passed away in a car accident, and they've been using this guy, but he can't tour, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, well, you know, what's the deal with it? And he gave me the idea of, you know, how it works, and that it was a, you know, a decent paying gig and so on and so forth. And they were coming to, they happened to be have three gigs on the East Coast, which being that they're from L.A., you know, it's a lot cheaper for them to fly, instead of flying a drummer from L.A. out to the East Coast. Nick was like, listen, Mark, I know this guy, he's a killer drummer, he used to play in this band, he's currently playing in his band, he showed him some of the videos, and he basically hooked me up with the gig, and they flew in, we had one rehearsal here at my place, and we did three major gigs, one being Laconia Bike Week. We played on the Jaeger stage at the New Hampshire, the Laconia Bike Week. We played a Rhode Island show at a club, and we also played a show in, I think it was in Maine. And that was it. But I came home, and it was fun. I made some money, and I got a good experience, and I rubbed elbows with some, you know, some cool people. And I haven't heard from them since, but I'm sure that once they, you know, I know he's, Mark is in the middle of some sort of new deal, getting, you know, doing something with a new album or something. And I don't know if they're going to need a touring guy or what they're doing or if they're going to use the Cali guy, but it's pretty cool that I got the opportunity and that, you know, my name is in their circle, and I'm sure I'll get a call from them in the future at some point for something, you know?
Definitely.
Cool. So would you be open to doing more things like that with other bands? I mean, it seems like a lot of, and I hate the term heritage or legacy bands, but it seems like a lot of these older established bands are doing this type of deal. Do you think this will, you know, lead you to playing with other bands under the same circumstance?
Great question. This is the thing. I love my own stuff, but if a real gig comes about and it's a real band, that meaning like a band that is, you know, has their stuff together, and they have management, and they have a booking agent, and they have tours booked and albums out, and they're doing well, and they can offer me, you know, something, being that I'm going to be a dad, and I, you know, and I have to, you know, and I'm not a spring chicken, and I need to make my living out of music, I will consider it. You know, I mean, there's definitely a difference between the Bullet Boys and, like, you know, another band per se, but I mean, I already know all of Metallica. I know all of Black Sabbath. If any of those two bands want to offer me a gig, I would take it in a heartbeat.
There you go. Hey, I wanted to ask you, Opus. Now, you're obviously close with Jamie Josta, and it, you know, in just talking with you, you and I have been talking these past few months, it sounds like you are actually kind of working with him on a number of things. Can you kind of go into a little bit about what your relationship is with Jamie Josta?
Absolutely. We are gay lovers, and I'm the man in the relationship, and he's the female.
There you go.
I'm
nice.
Just joking. All right. Well, I hope he hears that. Anyway, no. Basically, it's the other way around. No. This is how it works. It's really simple. I've known him for a long time. When I was in Gargantuan Soul, he was coming up in the music scene with his last band, Josta 14. And then he always was into hardcore and really heavy stuff. And basically, he started a label. He started doing really well. He was in the right place at the right time. He worked his balls off. He became the number one contender on bringing back hardcore into on like a national level. And we were in a lot of the same conversations. We all, I mean, a lot of times, you know, both our names came up during the host possibilities of Headbangers Ball. Obviously, Jamie got it. Both our names came up to Universal with Gargantuan Soul and Hatebreed. And I was actually asked about Hatebreed at one point in the office of Universal. And I should have said they sucked, but I didn't. I said they were awesome. But we always stayed in contact. We've always been friends. He is doing a phenomenal. He started a new clothing line called Hatewear Incorporated. And if you go to martyrstore.net. That's the store, martyrstore.net. All the designs are there of what he does, and he makes some great MMA-style gear. He also does some hardcore and metal rock clothing for girls and guys. And now basically what happened was, over the years, he needs reliable people to help him when he's on tour, when he's on the road, being that he's a Connecticut dog. You know, he wanted to book my old band, for Christ's sake, when he was a kid. He's approaching Gargantua Soul asking about it. And then he exceeded our level by, you know, leaps and bounds. And it's funny how things work. You know, here he's looking up to us. Now I'm looking up to him. And it's just how things happen in this business so quickly. But basically, he's been, you know, asking me here and there to help him out with the clothing line. And he knows I'm reliable. I'm a hard worker. And I get things done and I hustle. And he's a mover and a shaker as well. So he asked me, and I've been basically doing a little bit at a time. It started off very part-time, and now it's basically every week. And I just got done literally moving 4 huge warehouses full of stuff down to 1 main office where I moved all, everything, inventoried everything, consolidated, organized, threw out a bunch of stuff, made his life a little easier. Even though he thrives off of organized chaos, I'm working there now, and I'm OCD, and I need to be organized. So I made everything happen, and he's away right now. But when he comes back, he's probably going to have a heart attack. But, yeah, we have a great relationship. You know, I help him out, and he does what he can for me. It's not really about the music as far as, like Dead by Wednesday or Hatebreed or any of that stuff. It's more about Hatewear, and that's how we like to keep it. You know, once in a while, he'll help me out. But for the most part, it's a job. And it's great to have a job like that, like a day job where I can, you know, it's flexible. I can go on tour. I can work if I want to work. If I don't want to work, I tell him I can't do it. But it's a great gig because, you know, it's very flexible. And it's something that I can relate to and I love. And it's still music related. So that's basically how you make money in the music business nowadays. You can't expect to be, there's no more Led Zeppelins or like, you know, super groups like that. You have to, you know, I do Dead by Wednesday, and I also do 2 tribute bands, and I also do an acoustic solo side project, and I also do Hatewear, and I also, you know, run a new night, new rock and roll, like, free showcase I want to talk about, too, here in Connecticut, where I book 3 bands every other Thursday, and I run a rock and roll night here. And I have, you know, trying to make some sort of scene happen. So it's all those things combined that allow someone to have a career in music. And a lot of people don't get that. And I think Jamie's one of the guys that does understand how that works.
Cool. Well, let's talk about your showcase thing that you're doing. You mentioned you wanted to talk about it. Is it a certain style of music? You book 3 bands and they all play a similar style of music? Or is it music that's from different genres?
Well, basically, I have a formula that I've used for the last couple of years. Unfortunately, the club that I was doing it at closed down, so I was out of commission for about a year. And with everything else going on, I kind of just let it die out for a while so I could figure out my next plan of attack. Now, basically how I do it is I pick a weeknight, usually a Wednesday or a Thursday. This one is a Thursday now. And I put together, it's called Mind Snap Music's Metal Rock Mania. And it's pretty obvious what I book. It's either metal or rock in genre. And I have a Facebook group online under that name, Mind Snap Music's Metal Rock Mania. You can join that. And it's not going to start till October. The kickoff show is October 24th, Thursday. And from that point on, it's going to be every other Thursday. Now, the formula that I had worked. I was doing a Wednesday night for 2 years, and it was pre-admission, and we were at capacity almost every showcase. And capacity was like 100 and something. Yeah, like 100 and something people on a Wednesday in Connecticut. So anyone that says there's no scene in Connecticut is full of crap. Basically right now, I have October, November, December booked through 2013, and then I'll start a new calendar January, February of 2014, whence I know that this is doing okay. Now, cause it's not just about me. It's about the band. They have to all come together to help make this night work. And I think they do. We have great sponsors. We have Air One Productions, which is a new label here from Connecticut. Metal Syndicate. They're an awesome podcast, like metal podcast place from Connecticut. They're a sponsor. Shark Food Designs, Hateware, OFNR is an internet radio station. They're a sponsor. And my girl's new PR entertainment company, Dark Angel Entertainment, she's also sponsoring it. She does the last two videos for Dead by Wednesday, the zombie one, and also the new one, All the World is Waiting, which is on our YouTube page, youtube.com/DBWTV. And she's also the one that got me involved in a lot of the TV stuff that I do. I don't know, you know, if you could touch upon that too. I mean, I've done a lot of little appearances on some TV shows. Actually, I have one coming out soon. I don't know what episode, but in the next coming weeks, there's a new show on A&E called Psychic Tia. And she actually reads my tarot cards on TV and talks about the band. And literally, no BS, talks about arrival of my baby boy, Orion. Great name, right? A Metallica song. And she didn't know anything about it, no clue about whether it would be a boy or a girl, or even if the person that I was dating at the time, who is now, you know, now Jessica, whether or not she would be pregnant or not. So she knew she was going to be pregnant, and she knew that it was going to be a baby boy, and this is all on TV coming soon. But back to the showcase, it kicks off Thursday, October 24th, here in Connecticut. It's at a new club. It's actually a really cool club. It's a place called Axles, and A-X-L-E-S, and it's in 2344 Fox Inn Road in North Brantford, Connecticut. It's off of Route 80, and it's kind of like a legal speakeasy, where it's a private club, but on my night, it's going to be open to the public, and you have to, like, basically, you just go there, and if they know that you're there for the Mindstop Music Metal Rock Night, you get right in for free. And there's specials all night. You got to be 21, but it's really killer. The place has a beautiful bar. You can eat off the floor. It has a stage. I mean, you know, I'm doing every other Thursday from October 24th on. The kickoff party is a Halloween costume party, and my Black Sabbath tribute band, Earth, is headlining. And we have Kings and Liars and another stoner kind of rock band called Treebeard. And that's the kickoff. And then from there on in, every other Thursday, I have some killer shows. It's all listed on my page and on the Mindstop Metal Rock Mania page. So you can go there and check out the calendar of events coming up too. So yeah, a lot going on with that, man.
Cool. Excellent. Well, we appreciate you updating us on everything that you got going on. You and I need to talk more about, you know, maybe a podcast or radio show or something in the future. We kind of been talking about that behind the scenes, so we'll continue that talk. But before we let you go, Opus, I want to just ask you, you know, Gargantuan Soul was like a big kind of band for me, you know, and I always kind of in a way looked up to you guys because you guys, you know, when I was doing my thing with my bands, you know, back in the day, I always felt like you guys always had it together. You know, you had the, you know, the great sound and the great songs and stage show, but you also just had the business end always wrapped up, and you got people excited. You had your own scene going on, which is not an easy thing to do. You know, you really got to work hard to create those scenes. And I always thought that there was a good chance G-Soul was kind of going to make it really big. I mean, you guys definitely made it to a certain level, but you never got to that, you know, superstar level. Does it upset you when you look back that you guys never really broke through to and you know, took over the world?
Being bitter isn't going to do anything positive. And I went through that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were so close. I always feel like you guys were so close.
It was an illusion, man. It's a trick. Remember the lyrics and the drive?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, realistically, it's it imploded from the inside out. And it really is no one else's fault but our own. You could blame it on the managers. You could blame it on this deal not happening, that deal not happening, or the styles of music changing because rap rock kind of went out of style, yada, yada, yada. But at the same time, it's really, you know, I think it's about sticking with it and hitting that 10-year mark and believing in what you do. And, you know, that's why with this band, like, regardless of the guitar player or not, I mean, like, for example, Ross is out of the band, but, you know, there's some great news for Dead by Wednesday. We got nominated into two categories for the second annual Connecticut Music Awards, which is a big deal now here. We got Best Metal Band and Best Overall Band, and we're going to go to the Bushnell on September 17th and hopefully win one of the awards. I mean, who knows? There's, like, 500-600, you know, people going and, like, all these bands, and they make it a big deal. And I, you know, I really appreciate all the people that helped us get to that point as far as voting. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. Like, I basically, you know, as far as, like, what's coming, what's to come, I mean, you guys downloaded the free track, Left 4 Dead. You guys listened to it. You tell me what you think, you know, about the band. I mean, you can go to our SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/Dead by Wednesday, and download the brand new taste test of what's to come on the new album. It's called Left 4 Dead, the new song. It's also featured on Jamie's new hateware for the Headbangers, Brutal New Music Volume 4. It's a hateware compilation CD with a bunch of great bands on it. We have our new track on that as well, and you could get that either from themartyrstore.net if you order something, or you could go right through me, come, you know, just email deadbywednesday.com, say you want a compilation, and we'll take care of you, or go to any of our shows, and they'll be there for free. They were handing them out at Mayhem, so there's a lot of stuff to look forward to as well. But as far as Gargantua Soul goes, I mean, I went through a stage that I was really bumming, but you have to, you know, perseverance is key. You have to trudge on. If you love what you do, then it doesn't matter what happens. It's about the music and the music that you know, makes you, that drives me. And, you know, it's 1 minute you're up, they're a roller coaster. 1 minute you're up, you're playing Woodstock in front of, you know, 300,000 people. The next day you're playing West Virginia at a club where you have a drippy roof and a raindrops going on your head while you're playing in front of 8 people. I mean, so it's called the music business. So I understand. I know that it's. I want to be like, yeah, it sucks, but my life's pretty good, man. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I got to a certain point. I learned a lot. It does suck that I didn't ever get to that point where, because that I coulda, shoulda, woulda. But that's what it is. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. That's all it is, man. And everyone is put on this earth for a reason. So maybe, you know, I might not be a super, you know, like Kurt Cobain or like something like that right now. But, you know, I'm sure that I want to be respected too for my music. So maybe one day, you know, regardless if I'm alive or not, people will be like, hey, there'll be a long line at my funeral. I know that, Mark.
Right. I got you. Go ahead, Opus. I'm sorry.
No, I said, if that means anything, I don't know if it does, but, you know, I mean, I always tell people, it's funny how, you know, if I had a nickel for everyone that knew my name around the country or the world, I'd be, you know, a millionaire, but I don't. So, I mean, being popular isn't really doing much for me. It's all about people nowadays. You have to be like, you know, people, they gotta actually buy the album and be, you know, be a part of like some conglomerate machine. And, you know, I've always been sort of a renegade and a rebel against the sort of right ways. And a lot of bands that were amazing never really got to that level, like Candaria, like Fishbone. I mean, you know, you could name a ton of them, you know, that just kind of missed the mark. And I don't want to be known as that. I want to be known as just someone who loved what he did and a badass drummer who could play with any band. And, you know, I'm even doing, like right now, I'm doing this like sort of renaissance-y, not folky, but like acoustic rockish, like almost like Days of the New mixed with Pink Floyd, mixed with like Cat Stevens-y type of solo project where I can, you know, I could be down the road, I could be 60 years old and play, you know, a club and play guitar for a couple hours or whatever, hour or so, and sing and not play drums and actually still play out and be, have a more mature project. I mean, and I'm still doing the Black Sabbath tribute. I'm playing drums for that, or I'm playing drums for the Alcoholica, the Metallica tribute. So there's so much stuff I could do with my talent. And it's like, you know, it's just awesome. I mean, I think it's a great way of living, you know, it's to be a musician, you know?
Cool. Very cool. And since you are playing with the Sabbath tribute, I did want to ask what your thoughts are on the latest Sabbath album and the whole Bill Ward ordeal is. Do you think that, how they work things out was cool in your opinion, or do you wish that they would have worked things out with bringing Bill back into the fold?
Well, look, when it comes to business, you never know how things happen. So I can't really make a comment on the business end. What I can comment on is the last time I saw Black Sabbath in its entirety with the full original band, Ozzy and Tony and Geezer and Bill, is the last time I saw the band. I refuse to go. And I don't want to taint the memory of what I saw and what I heard, because I am a true believer of, you know, the original members really what make a band. Like when I saw all of the Police in entirety and like things like, you know, no offense to Van Halen, they sounded great, but things like, you know, throwing in their son to play bass isn't the same. And although I love, you know, I'm a huge Brad fan. I'm actually, that's who used to manage Gargantuan with Soul, was Rage Against the Machine's tour manager. Ford was our manager. So I got to play on Brad's drum set. We opened up for Rage Against the Machine a few times. I met, you know, everyone but Zach. I had sushi for the first time with the bass player Tim, and Tom Morella knows who I am and stuff. So not to drop names, but like those guys, you know, they were so innovative at the time. I love Brad, and I love Brad's playing on the new Black Sabbath album. But for me, the Black Sabbath is a dirty, raw sound with not a lot of production. You know, different tempos, jazz feel mixed in with bluesy, like doomy, dirgy music, and Bill Ward is the guy for that job. Now, Brad did a great job, and I actually at first did not like the album, and because I was judging off of the song God Is Dead. I'm not a fan of that song at all. I think it's pretty, not boring, but just like, it just doesn't hit, it misses the mark for me personally as a Black Sabbath fan playing all their stuff. And but then I listened to the rest of the album. The production is still super clean and not really what I would have done. I would have went back to tape, 2-inch tape for it. But at the same time, it grew on me a little bit. And it's because of Brad, you know, he tried, the more I listened to Brad's parts, he actually did it justice. He tried to play similar to what he thought Bill Ward would have done. You could tell he really studied old Sabbath before, you know, writing his parts, which is really cool. Now, as far as the touring guy goes, I heard he's a great player, he's a monster, and he does a great drum solo, but I didn't go see it because I don't want to ever I want to remember it as I saw it, which was all four members together, and Ozzy sounded great when I saw him, and I just don't want to, like, you know, paint that memory. So I have mixed feelings about it. I think it's a decent album, not their best work by far. And, but you know what? It's Black Sabbath, man. How could you go wrong?
Right on. Well, Opus, we're going to have to let you go tonight, but we'd love to get a Talking Metal ID from you before we go, saying your name, your band, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
You got it, man. What's up? This is Opus the Dopest from Dead by Wednesday from New Haven, Connecticut, and you're listening to TalkingMetal.com.
Cool. Thanks, Opus. And I'll definitely catch up with you in the next week or two. I'll give you a ring when we go to post this episode.
Awesome, man. You had some big news in there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We'll hype it the best we can.
Thank you very much, man.
And congratulations on the big news with your baby on the way.
Awesome. Very cool, bro.
Talk to you soon, man.
Victor, thank you, man.
Well, thank you, Opie.
All right, take it easy.
Bye. Get into a little Dead by Wednesday right now, guys.
Back and we put Dead by Wednesday there. The track is Left for Dead. If you want to check that out again, you can download that off of their SoundCloud page, SoundCloud/Dead by Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll link that in today's show notes.
And I guess that's more or less it for today, right,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, you know, the interview went a little long, which is cool, because Opus, as always, had a lot to say, and I should have known the 15 minutes we had kind of allotted for his interview was going to turn out to be, you know, 30 minutes or more. Actually, a lot more, I would think. But anyways, it's always excellent to talk to him, so that was... that.
Whoa, and... Mark just looks like he cut out on us again with the... he's working with a MiFi connection.
I'm on a really bad Wi-Fi. Knocking me off, so. Sorry to our live listeners who made me try to clean this up for the podcast interview, but where do we leave off?
Yeah, I was just rattling off all the Facebook and Twitter stuff, and I guess you want to mention the Hulu again before we knock things.
It's fine. Hulu Plus, not Hulu.com. It's HuluPlus.com/metal. Definitely do us a favor and visit that link. You'll be hearing a lot more about that in the next couple episodes. And God, we need your help with this sponsorship. We just need you to click through, try out Hulu for free on us for 2 weeks. And, you know, by doing that, by getting a free gift of Hulu, you are supporting the Talking Metal podcast. Again, it's not Hulu, it's Hulu Plus, which is a lot more than Hulu. So, yeah, anyways, thanks so much, guys. There's other ways to support Mars Attacks and Talking Metal, like using our Amazon links on MarsAttacksRadio.com and TalkingMetal.com. You can make a PayPal donation and show your support that way, too.
Cool. So we're going to leave things off now with a little White Wizard, and we'll see you guys next time here on Talking Metal Live.
Take my spirit! This episode of the Talking Metal Podcast has been sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/metal. Again, that's HuluPlus.com/metal. Let everyone you know about this offer. You can also go to TalkingMetal.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner. Guys, thanks for listening to this show today, and thanks for supporting us by supporting Hulu Plus.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.